Thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.
Hey, everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on notifications so that you don't miss any conversations. Today, I get to share with you the second half of my conversation with Brody. If you missed the first half, make sure that you catch that because it was full of some really great stuff on combating busyness. Now, for the second half of our conversation, we chat about how we make the busy season of Christmas still about Jesus. He's the reason why we celebrate, but it can be hard to focus on that when we have so much else going on. So Brody shares some great thoughts on how we put the focus back on God during the holidays. This is my conversation with Brody. Okay, so I brought up this topic of this podcast with this idea of of how do we focus on God during this like super busy, challenging season. And we haven't talked about that at all. So
so here we go.
Now, if that doesn't describe the busy season and how much there is to like talk about with different pressures and stuff, I don't know what it is. But let's dive into that. I mean, Christmas, people talk about it and they say, yeah, well, it's all about Jesus, right? And that's kind of the right answer if you follow Jesus, right? But something can be the right answer. And for those listening, I'm doing some air quotes here.
Yeah.
plug for watching this on YouTube.
There you go. You can see the air quotes.
You can see the air quotes. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, that's the answer, but our life reflects anything but that.
Yep.
So I don't know, how do we, like in a world that loves the lights and the gifts and everything, and ourselves that love those things, how do we kind of refocus and remember Jesus?
Yeah. Can I give you an imperfect answer?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think the imperfect answer I have is curiosity and tools. Not like tools that I build my house with. I know you should be, but you know, curiosity is a really interesting thing, is if you embed that in the fabric of your life and the people around you, then you're constantly asking questions, and questions open conversation, and then conversation becomes what we're focused on for a little bit of time. And so what we've tried to do is we actually in our house have a question of the day, and at Christmas time. We only do it in December, all the way through New Year's. And most of the time it's all about Christmas, but you know, it's a balance between, hey, if you were going to spend Christmas in any famous building, what building would you spend it in? Okay. The answers you get out of that are completely crazy, from Pfizer Forum to the Louvre Art Museum in Paris and, you know, everywhere in between. And it creates conversation, but also, I mean, you get conversations like, hey, what do you think it was like to be in Bethlehem that day, even if you weren't Mary and Joseph? And just even saying, hey, we're going to ask a question that causes you to go, oh yeah, there was a Bethlehem. And oh yeah, they didn't have Wi-Fi or my phone or anything like that. And digging into, you know, what would life be like? And then the follow-up question of that might be something like, why do you think God chose to send Jesus then and there? What was that? And getting some answers. And I don't know that you always have to just look and say, hey, baby Jesus in the manger, and we're going to have the nativity under the tree, and we all got to focus on Jesus. But it's saying, hey, how do we get curious about why and what and who, and how does that affect us nowadays? And then I use the tools that are around us. I mean, church is a tool for that. We go to church. I mean, I am a pastor, yes. But I mean, we go to church together, and then we talk about it later. And the key to going to church for me is not sitting in the pews, even though, or the seats. That's the part that we have to do. The part that actually really is the gold is going out to lunch afterwards and not picking up food and taking it home so they can all go to their rooms and eat it. But actually like going to a McDonald's or going to a mission barbecue or something like that. And when they're stuffing their faces with food and are happy, then I get to ask questions about what they experienced, and the conversation can't help but be about spiritual things because that's what we all just experienced. Mm-hmm. And so, and if a kid misses it because I've got teenagers and so they work and stuff like that, I'll make a burger date with them. Hey, we're going to get a burger on Wednesday night. And they kind of have an understanding in our house is that I buy them a burger and the way they pay for that is talking. Mm-hmm. And so we just have conversations and it's not all about God, but some of it is. And so we kind of walk back into it. Other families and people that I know, they take on things like Advent and they walk through Advent and they have, you know, a Bible reading and things like that. And it just tends to help them refocus, but I'm more of the person to person conversational type stuff. And so just trying to make it part of the fabric of what we're doing that month so that it doesn't get lost.
I really appreciate the way that you kind of have acknowledged like how you connect, right? And somebody else might do it differently. And so I think that that's like a key thing, right? So if talking to people is just like really challenging for you, you know, and that's just like not naturally how you connect or even grow your curiosity or things like that. Mm-hmm. There are different avenues like Advent, like a reading plan or things like that, that are like daily and reminder. And like, maybe that's how you really engage, but you're right. Like if you are a person that conversation drives your own interest in something, I know that's true for me, right? Where the more, if I talk about something, that's when like I'll have more sparked interest and I'll have more of like, ooh, I'm even more curious about this thing. Even if I'm sharing about it from like a place of knowledge, right? Like, what's the next stage in that? And I'm super like, I love that you brought up curiosity because I do think that people are wired differently. And so some people might never connect with the concept of like, I don't know, they just don't really care about like history. Right. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah. Like to talk about like, oh, what's the historical significance of the census that occurred, right? That caused Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem. They might not care at all. Some people might hear that and be like, the Romans took a census? You know what I mean? And they're like, oh, and they dive in and have that curiosity. And so know the things that you are naturally curious about. Like maybe for you, it is the like, I'm really curious about people stories. And so picturing Mary being pregnant on a donkey is like, that's the thing that makes me curious. Like, okay, well, what's it like to ride a donkey? Maybe I'm going to go this year and see if I can, with
I'm
permission,
going to the donkey farm at Christmas.
Exactly. I don't know, but I love the idea of curiosity. And I think I take it a step further and kind of know what you're naturally curious about. And then how do you attach that to this story of Jesus?
And I think you and I have covered a section of how people are. The one that we haven't talked much about is the doer. That they focus by doing. And I think this season gives us a great, I mean, anywhere from Thanksgiving all the way through the new year, there's hundreds of organizations that are saying, hey, we want to help make this a good Christmas for somebody else. And so the opportunity to serve and to volunteer and all those different things, that's also a way that a certain type of person who's built that way can really connect with the season. And if you're a follower of this, understand why you're doing that. It's not like, I just want everybody to be happy. It's more like, hey, they're a creation of God and I want them to feel loved this year. And part of doing that is playing my part.
Hmm. How does that fit in? Because I think you're dead on. But how does that fit in with the like, it's a super busy season, right? And so then you're like, it feels like you're adding something. Is that going back to our previous, you know, part of our conversation? Is that, well, I'm going to have to say no to something else that doesn't create that space?
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. And that's that's where you run into trouble with kids. So I'll just talk on the kids is when you tell them, hey, we're going to go serve instead of go do this fun thing. You're not a popular person in the house. and yet it's noticing what they want to do and what makes them happy, but also sometimes what they need to do. And for us going in and serving like that might not be an every Christmas thing. But there might be something in Christmas, but it needs to happen consistently because if we want a generation to grow up, not just in our house, but in others, understanding that it's not all about them, then they need to have experiences where it's not all about them. And so yeah, I think you're right on. You can just say yes to one more thing because you feel you gotta. But if you look at the year as a whole and the people and the people that you're trying to help grow in your house or the person you're trying to be, if you look at the year as a whole, rather than let me just shove it into this time when everybody's got the attention there, then I think it's a whole lot more helpful on the schedule side of things.
You know, this may go into your like curiosity point, but for the person who's, I don't know, they've been to church their whole life, we'll say. And so they've sat through 30 Christmas messages, or they've done Christmas all these times, right? And so they know, they're very familiar with the story, right? Mm-hmm. Is there, you know, and so it's almost like, well, I know the story, so I almost don't have to focus on it, you mm-hmm. know, that type of mentality. Is there anything that you'd say, hey, well, here's how you can make it fresh. Here's a way that you could make this a new experience, or even if it's the same experience, give it some more meaning.
Yeah, I think there's a couple of things. That wasn't a question that we had talked about. So now I'm off the cuff. And so
perfect.
No, I think that there's a lot of different things you can do. Having been going to church my whole life, the story sometimes becomes wallpaper. It just becomes, hey, that's the story. And what I really want to pay attention to is all the fun new stuff that we've created around the story, so that I can have fun and you know, this is a refreshing season for me. I think in the end, one of the first things you got to do is actually go back and read the story. Hmm. Read the story out of the Gospels and say, wow, okay, what do I need to see here? And I believe that when we read God's word, when we read the Bible, that the Holy Spirit is part of that reading, that conversation. I know that sounds, you know, super spiritual and whatever, but it is how I believe. And then I think the question is, you know, why would he do that for me? What was the point of that? I mean, it seems like an awful lot of hardship. And really asking that question again, which is not an unusual question, but asking that question again. And then the last question in a conversation with God that I would ask is, what do you want me to see this year? Because I know that over time, reading the story in different seasons of my life, different characters have stuck out to me. And I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but okay, let me take it into another realm. There were some years where working life was hard, and we went to Disney World a couple of times as a family. And I remember one year that I loved all the Tigger stuff. Like, I just love Tigger. He's a bull energy. He's bouncy. He's positive. And, you know, I wanted to buy a shirt, so I did. And, you know, you come back and you never wear it because nobody ever wears Disney stuff outside of Disney. But then there was another year that we went, and the only thing I was looking for was grumpy stuff. And it was just the stuff that resonated with me at that moment. And so when I look at the Christmas story, I'm like, okay, I'm not going to resonate necessarily with the experience of baby Jesus because that's just not my experience. But I wonder what it was like to be Joseph and have to put your wife to be, who's pregnant, on a donkey because that's not comfortable, and go somewhere that you don't want to go because you don't actually like the government that's forcing you to go there, and you have no place to stay when it gets there. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of confusion and all those different things. And I've had seasons in my life where I've been uncertain and confused and maybe don't know how to make all this work together. And he caught my attention. And then there's the shepherds that are like, I don't know, they're ADHD all over the place. I mean, they come flying into town like crazy people because they saw an angel. And imagine having experienced something that nobody is going to believe that you experienced and being like super joyful about it. And I've been in those seasons where I'm like, I have experienced something in my life that has been revolutionary and I don't know how to explain it. And all you people think I'm crazy. And so I resonated with the shepherds, and what did they do? They just did what came next. And so I think that reading through the story and trying to figure out what pops out to you and asking God to be a part of that, even if you're not a follower of Jesus and you're like, hey, there's a chance that there's a big guy out there. Why not ask? What harm can happen in asking, hey, point this out to me and let me see. So I don't know if that, what are your thoughts on that question?
Yeah. You know, I think, and it's something you touched on, I think the desire is huge. You know, because I think one of the things that, especially, and this is true for any busy season, right, is that you're almost in like a survival mode. You're almost in a go through and get it done type of mentality. It's like a checklist item. And until it becomes something you don't even care about checking off, right? That's kind of like how things yep. progress. I think that maintaining a desire for there to be more, you know, and mm-hmm. sometimes you may, it may not happen. Sometimes you may be like, I really want to get something out of the Christmas message. I really want to get something out of the Christmas story this year. And it may, and maybe it doesn't happen, you know? Mm-hmm. I do think though, from what I've experienced, what I've heard people experiencing is that when you ask God to show you something, when you say like, hey, help me take something away. Help me, maybe it's learn something new. Maybe it's have a different understanding. More often than not, there's like a, okay,
yeah,
I'll show you something, you know?
Are you ready to hear?
I mean, that's the second thing. And you know, the other thing that I would say, once again, we're going to be fully into our, dipping into our pastor hats here, is I do think the story changes and the experience changes when you make it about bringing somebody with you or sharing with somebody, you know?
Yep.
And maybe that person is not ready to come into a church building. Totally fine. Maybe they're not even ready to watch something online. But, you know, would they be open to you sharing about what this season means to you? Would they be open to you sharing about your tradition of reading the story and being like, man, it's really cool to like dive into the real, the story of what Christmas, maybe what it represents or like, what's the origin of why? And that's not, you know, like, but Jesus wasn't born on December 25th. Yeah. Okay. That's fine. But you know, and we won't dive into that too much here.
That's a rabbit hole. I'm not sure we'll go down.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think you're right on that. Your perception changes when it has to come into contact with somebody else's perception and perspective. And when you talk about that, whether it's in church or in a coffee shop or, you know, somewhere else up in Wisconsin, it's not, you know, on your front porch in December. We just don't do that. But
I don't know. Some people it is lawn chair, yeah, that, shorts, feet in the snow, you know, snow boots.
That is fair. That is fair. But I think it affects the way that we think and the questions that we ask ourselves. And that's always going to spark newness in our view of the season. So,
yeah. I mean, especially if you're like, if you have a great relationship with somebody, even if they don't follow Jesus, their perspective on the story and the situation, I think will develop curiosity in you, right? You mentioned talking to your kids and like debriefing them, like a message or like an experience or something that they had. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure they ask questions or those conversations will spark something new. And when somebody's like, oh, you know, why would God care? That's, you know, yeah. like, I mean, that maybe you haven't asked yourself that question, you know?
Well, true. Or maybe you're afraid to, because yeah. I think that some people come into Christmas and go, hey, I know this is good news for a lot of people, but I don't know how God looks at me. And so I don't know that I'm ready to engage with that right now.
Yeah. Okay. So last question for you, Brody.
Sure.
I mean, how, like we could, so we've talked a little bit about like, you know, just like the bright lights and like, how do you stay focused mm-hmm. and things like that. Is there any, like, if we get super practical, is there any like specific things you're like, hey, you know what? Really try this specific thing. Maybe it's a specific reading plan. Maybe it's a daily like refresher or reminder that you go through. Is there anything that comes to mind for those things?
From a spiritual perspective?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think most people, so I'm going to give a couple of things that hopefully will cover the gamut of people. It might not everything cover yeah. every person. I think most people come from a tradition of religion of some sort, whether it's Catholic, Lutheran, or completely not, but they've developed traditions around the season. And I would tell you, lean into those traditions from a spiritual side of things. If it's Advent, then lean in a little bit more and reconnect yourself with some of that. And make it so you're not just, like you said before, checking off the box, like, hey, got it done, all set, now I can go do the rest of my life. But actually just setting aside a few moments. And some people think that hey, if I'm going to set aside time to do this, it's got to be an hour of sitting in darkness and silence. And I have to, you know, whatever. There you go. Well, if that works for you, then I'm in a world of hurt because that doesn't work for me. A lot of times it happens while I'm in a car or I'm on a walk, and it's 5 to 10 minute pieces of things. So what I would tell you is, lean into some of those traditions and don't neglect the things that are built into you as a human. Us as humans are built for story. We're hardwired for it. And so the more we can engage with stories of things that impact us, the more likely we are to like live into thinking about stuff. And the second is music. We are hardwired for music, maybe not singing. I'm not hardwired for singing, but music we are hardwired for. And this season, there's tons of different things that even if you just said, hey, I'm going to listen to a couple of different songs throughout the week, and I'm not going to just listen to the tune and get creative with that, but I'm going to listen to the words and what do those words say? And so I think coming down into that type of thing, is probably the most intensely practical, is just setting aside time, figuring out maybe what some traditions are that you could lean into, some rhythms of, can you encounter stories of people who would be inspiring as far as what Christmas is all about, whether it's from a spiritual perspective or a investment in others type of perspective. And then music, really consider what that music might be saying. Those are some simple things that we can do all sorts of places. But I think just setting aside a little bit of time and saying, hey, I'm going to make this a little bit different. If you do that every year, year over year, in a couple of years, you'll realize that your Christmas is radically different than it used to be.
You know, I know that this is going to start off sounding counterintuitive, but I really do think that you carve out the space for these types of moments, right? And you're busy and you're crazy busy. But I do think that they give you like the emotional and the spiritual like lift, you know, and then all of a sudden your interactions with other people, your interactions with your family, your capacity to handle extra chaos, it goes up. And it sounds counterintuitive that you like take more time to do these things. How do you fix your busy schedule? Well, set aside time, you know, but add to it. But when you do it in a way that's like, I don't know, just like growing your connection with God in a way that like helps you feel refreshed, helps you feel more connected, and like I call it like spiritual bandwidth or emotional bandwidth, it just increases. And then all of a sudden you're a little bit less short, your anger is a little bit less quick to happen, which even if it's just those two things, like those can go a tremendous amount towards easing relationships, work conflicts, so many different elements. And I think that's true not just in the Christmas season, but really in any busy season.
Yeah, I would tell you you're right. And I think that if you reverse it and say, hey, the time and the space gives you more capacity to be this, the inverse of that is, hey, if you're experiencing that your internal temperature is rising and that you're angry quicker and that you're disappointed or sad or to a higher degree than normal, then maybe those are the flags that are saying, hey, it's time to create some space. You need some margin, and you need to invest in yourself a little bit that way so that you can be more of the person that you want to be.
Perfect. That's so great. Thank you, Brody. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for chatting with me.
Thanks.
It is kind of like, it's interesting because it's like slightly challenging, but it's also kind of a fun, like curious conversation. So.
Yeah. No, I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, that was my conversation with Brody, and I just love his answer about cultivating curiosity. You know, I feel like that it's such a great mindset to have, not just during Christmas, but really for our faith in general, to make it continue to be fresh and have this new and renewed focus. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.